Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's Thursday from 6 to 7. It's time for the Red Card live on the campus of Dominican University of California on radio.dominican.edu. How's everybody doing out there? Hope everyone's having a good time. I know I am. I'm sure most of you are just listening to Funk It Up with Dr. J with my man Jason Stefani. He's a great guy. Love that guy. Great kid to have in class. Really makes things fun. Makes it fun to go to class, especially on Fridays when I have class with Jason for radio. Anyways, so far I'm having a good day, good Thursday, especially coming off of a good game yesterday. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about that. The Dominican men's and women's Penguins soccer teams were in action yesterday out at Forest Meadows here on the campus of Dominican University, located in San Rafael, California. That's right. That's where we're coming to you live from Angelico Hall. And I don't know what room this is, but it's the studios is how we refer to it. Anyway, it's been a crazy week so far. Lots of soccer going on everywhere, not only in this country, but in Europe and in South America and everywhere, all around the world. There's always soccer going on, obviously, because it is the world's most popular sport. I think we've already established that. Even if you feel differently on, you know, like if your favorite sport is football or baseball or basketball, you can't argue with the fact that soccer is the most world's popular sport. It may not be here in the United States, but regardless of what we think in America, it's hands down the most popular sport around the world. And but we are seeing big things happen in the United States with the increase of popularity, which is good to see as a fan and as a player. You always like to see that. And I think you know, we were talking about the other day in my sports media class a couple weeks ago, talking about how without the NBA, what are a lot of people doing? And I know we were talking about the other day, me and my roommates, is TNT had to fill that, like, I think they had like an 8-hour void they had to fill with shows. They did reruns, obviously, because of the fact that there was no NBA games and all the NBA games were canceled. So opening night was supposed to be held, but it wasn't. So they had to fill it. They had to fill all that open space with shows that, well, are on reruns. And it was sad because a lot of people I know were really looking forward to watching, especially the Mavericks present their NBA championship banner. So that's unfortunate. But anyway, it's sad for all those players and whatnot, even though they're all getting paid way too much money, in my opinion. I feel like soccer now has a chance to maybe make a push up into the top tier of sporting in this country. I feel like the people are there. The money may not exactly be there, but the ambition and the drive is there from the American people. And that, you never know. You just never know. Maybe we'll wake up tomorrow or at the end of this time period with the lockout, and soccer will be up in maybe third or fourth, because right now it's in last, which is sad, but yeah, that's the way things go. But anyway, I've mentioned today was a little cloudy, which was kind of sucks, not going to lie, especially because we've been having all this great weather. And like yesterday at the soccer game, it was fantastic weather. And then all of a sudden today, it went from, I had class at 9:25 to about 10:40, got out at like 10:40 or so. And when I went to class, it was, you know, sunny, a little cold, but it was sunny. Get out of class, it's cold and it's rainy. It's like overcast and it starts to rain. It drizzle. I guess drizzle is the correct terminology, because it is not rain when it drizzles, especially when, for me being from Arizona, raining is raining. And what that was today and what it usually is here is a drizzle. But anyway, this weather sucks. And apparently we're supposed to get a rain tomorrow, which sucks because we have a soccer game. And then we're supposed to get more rain throughout the weekend on Saturday and on likely to be Sunday. So that's great news because we have soccer games tomorrow and then again on Sunday. So if you're coming out to the games, bring a poncho or an umbrella or both or all the above or whatever, you know, and anything that I'm not suggesting, bring it because you never know when you're going to need it. But that's what we get for having a sport outside. But it just seems like it went from summer straight to winter. Like there was no in between. And you know, a lot of us were talking, we haven't seen a lot of rain this year, which is nice for our field because the more rain we get and the more we play on it, the crappier our field gets. But without that, we don't have that problem, which is really nice because if you've ever been to Forest Meadows, not the best field. So the less wear and tear we can put on that field, the better off we all are. But that's good news, I guess, since, you know, it's not going to be that big of a deal because we have a new field coming in, and hopefully that'll be done. I don't know when that's going to be done, honestly. The way my friends and I are talking about it and the kids on the team is I'll believe that there's going to be a field put in when the field's actually put in, you know. But there's lots of good signs because there's every day they're out there working. They've got big machinery and something's being changed. Something is being done. You know, whether it's the courts are being torn out or they're leveling it out for the new courts, or they're leveling out the area where the field's going to go, or they're marking off whatever, or they're putting in the drainage. Whatever the case is, there's always good news every day. No matter when you go out there in the day, there's always workers doing something. So it's bright. Anyway, let me give you a little rundown of the show, and then we'll take a real quick break and we'll come back and get into the show. We're going to talk a little bit about the games yesterday. I don't know if any of you guys have heard, but if you haven't heard, because I know it's the big story going around campus, the other games yesterday against Hawaii Hilo were a little intense, to say the least. Maybe there was punches thrown. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe there was red cards given. Maybe there wasn't. I will let you know when I come back from break. We're going to talk a little MLS playoffs because there's games today and there's games yesterday, and the MLS is getting into their playoff swing. We'll talk a little EPL, and then I think we're going to end the show on some Champions League, and we'll talk a little Dominican soccer at the end of it, and maybe we'll talk a little Dominican soccer at the end of it. I mean, we're talking in the beginning, so we'll probably do that. But we might give you a little reminder on that there's games on Sunday and tomorrow if you guys can make your way out there. Tomorrow's game might be a little hotter than the other, and if you do go, bring an umbrella. But anyway, that's for after the break and kind of after the show, if I say so. Anyway, that's right. You're listening to The Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, Casey Gibson. I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
J-O-B, I'm on my job. Once I spit from the gut, man, it ain't that hard. From ab to ab to your boulevard, I'ma have the whole world like, oh my God. The hate they scream, they all blaspheme. So I put them on the wall like they all blast green. I stand tall, they b-ball and all black teams. And all that talk you talk is just bad dreams. Dudes is lame, they don't wanna change things. It seems the underground scene has gone mainstream. You spit mediocre, but what really amazed me, that chip on your shoulder, you're not Jay-Z. And me, I be the block James Dean. I swear shots will ring if I start to say things. These teams dig a green, talk machines in their jeans. M16s with scopes and M-beams. Hip-hop dreams with hopes to get seen. Like rehab fiends, drop coke and get clean. From the cash they clock, they got emeralds. We hit the band from Glocks and not Emerald. No, it's not simple, I will not drop pencil. I will only rock hot hip-hop instrumentals. Rap stencils try to box me in, but I break out the box quick like Frosty and drink my white kids. Ideas from behind my eyelids to my lips, make my shit nice, this crisis. Grip my devices at times of crisis. Now bump this niceness inside your Chrysler's. J-O-B, I'm on my job. Once I spit from the gut, man, it ain't that hard. From ab to ab to your boulevard, I'ma have the whole world like, oh my God. J-O-B, I'm on my job. Once I spit from the gut, man, it ain't that hard. From ab to ab to your boulevard, I'ma have the whole world like, oh my God. My target, get up out the shitty apartment and tear apart shit like Mozart to Raucus. You be the first one to scream at you hauling. What would you lie like the month before August? How could you fly when you wanted to fall and make hope face ghosts with bulletproof wallets? Polished, I'm a part of all this. Two shots for Tupac and Christopher Wallace.
To the red card on radio.dominican.edu with me, your host, Casey Gibson. That's right. We're back from our little break, and before we left to give you a little rundown of the show, we talked a little bit about the weather, and I left you hanging, at least I hope I did, with a little bit of suspense in yesterday's game. Games between the University of Hawaii Hilo and Dominican University of California. That's right, the Vulcans and the Penguins went head-to-head yesterday at Forest Meadows Field. The women played first in a very, very physical game. There was some good play. There was also some maybe cheap plays. But the thing that kills me the most is the refereeing. And when I say refereeing, if any of you know, and if you have been to Hawaii, the refereeing there is very, very biased. There's no question about that. We've both the men's and women's teams the last 2 years that I've been a part of it have felt it. You go to Hawaii and everyone's biased. I remember times my freshman year when we were playing at HPU, Hawaii Pacific University at HPU, and all of the players are referring to the referee, not as sir, like you're, you know, as you usually do as a player. To show respect, of course, they're referring to him as Tom. Tom was his first name. They knew him on a first name basis. They were all friends with him, and from that point on, it just wasn't the same. You know, I'm not sure how else I can explain it. It's just there's this feeling that you get in your stomach and everywhere that just goes, this isn't right. Like, it's just not right. And then you play the game and you figure out that it's definitely not right because they're just so biased to the teams from Hawaii. I don't know if it's because they've kind of been I don't know, they felt like they don't get the same respect. I'm honestly not really sure what the deal is, but I do know that it's very biased towards the home island teams. And anyway, so yesterday we come into the game. The girls are pumped, you know, trying to get on that back on the winning foot. And the Vulcans' first goal was I can't explain it because it was horrible refereeing. Ball comes in to this girl, bounces off her shin, off the Hawaii Vulcan's shin, goes out of bounds. They call it that it went off a Dominican player, so it's Hilo's ball. They throw it in. The girl takes it down the line, crosses it, attempts to cross it. It goes into the goal for a goal. The lucky one, two lucky goals. Just it was frustrating. Then, you know, Dominican pulls one back from sophomore Caitlin Baptista, who's playing fantastic as of late. I mean, fantastic. She's really embracing this new role as an offensive threat and just you know, head nose to the ground and going a million miles an hour. Love it. Very aggressive. Anyway, a couple of miscues apparently led to the goals. I wasn't able to see them because I myself had to go to the team room right before our game, so I wasn't able to see them. But what I've heard through word of mouth was a little couple miscues, a little unfortunate. Juliana G. Brasberg, the star, the standout star for the women's team, the senior academically and the junior athletically, put one in the back of the net, which is good to see her getting back on the scoring sheet because she's missed it. So it's really nice for her to get back on the scoring sheet. But the incidents that really can, you know, draw my mind are at the very end of the game for the girls' game. Junior. And when I say this, you might think I'm crazy. Emily Whitaker, I know she plays defense. I know. But she was up top. She gets this semi-breakaway towards the goal. Goes in. She felt she got fouled, which she did get fouled, and it could have easily been a PK. Keeper comes out, grabs the ball. But this girl then trips over the keeper. The Vulcans player trips over her own goalkeeper. Gets up at Emily really fast and kind of puts her arms on Emily really fast. And Emily just kind of puts her hands up saying, you know, look, I'm not doing anything. Well, apparently the girl then kind of, you know, did an action where you might have thought she was, you know, acting for a Grammy or something. She probably could have won it. And she then yelled at the ref and told the ref that Emily punched her in the face. When the girl, in fact, for the Vulcans, got in Emily's face, and Emily just put her hands up like, I'm not doing anything. I don't want to deal with you, you know, like you're supposed to show that you're not involved. The ref, you know, blows his whistle, comes running over, starts yelling at both players, telling them to quit, gets them apart, hands Emily Whitaker a red card, shows her the red card. And Emily's just sitting there going, what? And hands the Vulcans player a yellow, only a yellow. So by this time, all the men's team is on there, and we're watching. I saw this. Me and the other goalkeeper, Eric Anderson, the freshman, we're both standing there with the coaches, and we're just like, "What is going on?" Well, Cody then gets up and, you know, starts yelling at the ref. Cody Warden, our assistant coach for both the men's and women's team, gets up and starts yelling at the ref, you know, telling him that was a horrible call, and just actually, excuse me, that's not true. What he did before that is he just simply asked the referee to come explain it to him, just to explain what he saw and what the card is for. That's simply all he asked. Ref comes over and he tells him what it's for, and so Cody just kind of, you know, are you sure? Because from my vantage point, it looked different, and, you know, just kind of, you know, trying to get his point across and maybe, you know, be a little assertive with it, you know, poking the guy, and the guy didn't like it and he starts yelling back, and so Cody's just like, you're horrible, and it was a horrible call. He's like, that's one of the worst calls I've ever seen, blah, 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 whatever. And he just hands him two quick yellows. Doesn't really, like, take a second to think about it. Just hands him out. Just one, two, red, you're off. So Cody isn't allowed to go to, or excuse me, he's allowed to go. He just can't coach the next game, the next women's game. So that really kind of put a bitterness into the coaching staff for the men's. Not to mention, So both a player and a coach got a red. After the game, the coaches simply go up to the refs and are just like, you know, can you explain this, what's going on? Then it got into like another kind of heated argument. Our other assistant coach, Brandon Romeo, then also got shown a red card, which no one really knows where that came from. And we were a little surprised. And I was just like, okay, where, we don't really know where that came from. It kind of came out of nowhere. So anyways, when it's all said and done, two coaches and a player got a red card for the girls' game. So that kind of really set the tone for what we wanted our game to be. You know, we wanted to come out strong, and we wanted to, I don't know about use the girls' frustration as a tool for ourselves, but just know that, look, like we've that same kind of stuff has been happening to us all season, and it's our time. It is now our time to really go out and get the game. So we do that. Basically, we go out and get the game. We start the game off pretty strong, controlling the ball for the most part. We get a quick goal. I wouldn't say a quick goal. Goal with like probably, 25-30 minutes left in the game. 25-30 minutes left in the first half, excuse me. And from freshman Colby Mitnick. It was his third on the season. And we go into halftime up 1-0. And we're just trying to close it out. Just close it out. We're trying hard. We're dominating the game. There's no question about that. Second half comes around, probably with like 15 minutes left, we score again. And I take that back. Probably with like 10 minutes left, we score again. And it was kind of a dinky goal. You don't really know how it happens, but it happens. Freshman Victor Robles, going down the left side, cuts it in towards the goal and just kind of takes his shot, and it beats the keeper near post. No one really knows how it got between the keeper and the front post, but it went in. It's a goal. We're up 2-0 with less than 10 minutes left or so. We're sitting pretty right now. We're like, all right, this is where we want to be. They come down the field next couple seconds, probably like 30 seconds, a minute later, and they get one back. Kind of miscommunication on some defense, but then, you know, whatever. They score a goal. They pull one back. So then, we just got to learn how to close down. And the only thing is, we're a young team, so that's a little more difficult, you know. And it's easier said than done, honestly. And so they come back down the field, and a couple minutes later, they get another goal back on a pretty good ball played across. Kid puts a head on it and kind of floats it into the back corner of the net. So game's tied. Well, apparently one of their players, did an action that showed dissent towards another player, and he'd already received a yellow card earlier in the game. Gets shown another one, he's off, red card. He's probably one of their best playmakers in the middle of the field. And for the Vulcans, excuse me. And so we're up a man. Game's tied 2-2. And then I would say maybe a minute later, this huge brawl just happens in the far corner closest to the Vulcans bench. This huge brawl. It happened to our center back, Corey Vanderpool, who's a freshman, was going up with one of their players, and Corey got this touch on it and kicked out for a corner kick to, deny him the ball, and he kind of tripped, and the kid, and from then on, I guess like a kid kind of like tried to kick Corey. Corey grabbed his foot. Kid punched Corey in the back, and then one of our other players, our center back, Evan Myers, freshman, went over and started pushing, and then from then on, it just became this huge blob. Their starting 11 and our starting 11 got together, and we're just kind of like pushing match and whatnot, and they're the Vulcans bench cleared with coaches and players down, running towards the brawl itself, and Cody and Delano, we all jumped off the bench, started to like maybe take a couple steps down there, and Cody and Delano just told us to sit down, and so then we ended up doing that, and I found myself trying to pull kids back because it looked like they were pretty close to going out there. And when it was all said and done, I guess the refs came together and said that punches were thrown by a couple players, and they all got ejected. Unfortunately for us, one of them is our starting center back, Evan Myers. Then the two players for Hilo were shown the red card and ejected. One player that was on the field and one player that was on the bench. So we ended up playing, the rest of the game was played by
Hilo had 9 players on the field, including a goalkeeper, and we had 10 players on the field, including a goalkeeper. So really, they had 8 field players, and we had 9 field players, which was an advantage because the half ended and went into overtime, and from there it was just a grind, and we possessed the ball way more than that. I think the possession was probably 80-20% for Dominican, and then freshman Colby Mitnick scored his 4th goal of the season, and we got to celebrate the big win, and it's unfortunate that, you know, things like that kind of happen, but you know, that's just part of the game, and you know, it was the first time I'd really actually seen a big kind of like benches clearing brawl happen on a soccer field. And it's kind of, it reminded me of baseball, except, well, our bench didn't really get to get in on it, but from the sounds of it, it was pretty intense down there. There was, you know, cussing, of course, and people saying things you probably shouldn't say and things you don't say on the radio, so I'm not going to repeat them. But other than that, it was a good, hot, hard-fought game. We learned a lot. We need to maybe close games out just a little more, but that's just stuff that comes along with the progressing, and when it's all said and done, all we got was that we really wanted was a result, and that was a W, and we got that. We got the 3 points, so we're looking happy right now. But at the end of the day, both including the men's and women's game, there were 4 for the men, 4 red cards for the men, and 3 for the women. So there's a total of 7 red cards handed out. I know it's pretty crazy. I don't really know what to say about that, but I'm just happy one of them wasn't me. So that kind of it's interesting to think that we kind of compared ourselves to baseball, like I said, with a benches clearing brawl. You know, I wouldn't really consider it as a brawl, but there's definitely punches thrown. Punches were ducked out of the way of, and I'm surprised one started kicking. Because that seems to be what soccer players go to first is their kicks. Because, well, we kick for a living. At least that's what you see on all these YouTube videos of South American teams that have it happen, or, you know, European teams that have intruders or whatever. So it was fun though. I can't deny that. I had a good time. I'm just happy that no one was seriously injured from both teams. And at the end of the day, we got the W, and I'm happy about that because, well, it puts us out of it puts us above Hilo, and a chance to finish. I believe the best we can do is 7th if we have solid results from here on out. Look forward to tomorrow. But anyway, going from college to the pros, which seems like a sounds like a good idea. We're going to talk a little MLS. That's right. The MLS is in full swing, taking the playoffs are happening right now. So when we come back from this real quick break, we'll talk a little MLS. We just covered some, Dominican soccer, some red cards and goals, and look forward to covering the MLS. So stay tuned to the red card on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back. To the Red Card with me, Casey Gibson, on radio.dominican.edu. Before we left for the break, we were talking a little bit about the Dominican men's soccer and men's and women's soccer team in their game yesterday against Hawaii Hilo and the Vulcans. Fortunately the women fell 3-2 in a hard fought game, and the men won 3-2 in overtime. And then in an also a hard-fought game. But now we're going to switch it to a little professional soccer. We're going to keep it a little close to home. We're going to talk a little MLS, which I know we haven't really talked about in the past, but we got to talk about it now because, well, they're into the playoffs, which is big time. You know, I'm a big fan of the MLS, obviously. I'm not as much as maybe the EPL or whatnot, but it doesn't mean I'm not a fan. And good things are happening in the world of soccer here in the United States. So we really got to talk about some playoffs, and that's what we're going to do. To start off, Sporting Kansas City defeated Colorado 2-0 in the second leg. They'll move on to I believe it's the semifinals. Yes, the semifinals. On goal differential of 4, they defeated Colorado 2-0 in the first leg. So they move on and await their next opponent in the semifinal of the MLS Cup, which is good for Sporting Kansas City. You know, they defeated the defending champion. Colorado won it last year, obviously, and so it was good for them to get those positive results, get two shutouts going into the semifinals, which is what you like to see. Goalkeeper has some confidence going on, and these games were yesterday, the second legs, because we're all into the second leg. The first legs have been played. We're into the second legs now, and the way it works is you'll play a home leg and an away leg, and whoever has the best goal aggregate, which is a total of amount of goals of both games, moves on. So you could lose, say, 2-1 away, but you could win 4-0 at home, and you will move on because you have 5 goals where the other team only has 2 total goals. I know it gets a little confusing. There's a little more other rules that come into play, but we won't really worry about those right now. But I will talk about them in just a second. Real Salt Lake from Salt Lake City, Utah, obviously, survived Seattle in Seattle to move on 3-2 on goal aggregate. They used the first leg. They won the first leg in Salt Lake 3-0 over a tough Seattle team who was a very dominant team. They have a lot of good players on the team, but they were able to, you know, use what they had in the first leg at home and use that home field advantage to their success. Because when it went back to Seattle, which was the game played yesterday in the second leg, they were able to hold off this, you know, very, very good team. They hold them off long enough. In the game, they made a late minute comeback and really tried to push for that third goal. But Salt Lake was able to, you know, defeat them. Well, not defeat them because they lost 2-0 in Salt Lake City, or excuse me, in Seattle. And so the goal aggregate finished 3-2. RSL moves on. And unfortunately for Seattle, that was their goalkeeper Casey Keller's last game. He's now retiring, so they will no longer have him, which is very sad. But he had a very good career playing in Europe and now in the MLS and also as an international goalkeeper for the United States. Very fantastic player. Good first name too, if I say so myself. Spells it a little weird, but it's a good first name no matter. And anyway, tonight the Houston Dynamo are taking on the Philadelphia Union. That game is currently at halftime with Houston up 1-0 with a goal by, that's right, Brian Ching, the older veteran for the Dynamo, scoring in the 45th minute. So that game is currently at halftime. We'll keep you up to date on these games as they go along. I've got them here in the studio. I'm watching them. I'm watching the game cast, and right there it says Houston 1, Philadelphia nothing. And on goal aggregated, it's 3-1 Philadelphia. That's right. In the first leg, Houston went to Philadelphia and won 2-1. So they have two away goals. This is big because away goals, say you have you score two goals at home and you have one away goal. And so you have three goals total. And the other team scores three goals at home. Your two goals at away mean more than their home goals. Even though you have the same number per se, your away goals mean more because of the whole. It's harder to score on the road philosophy than it is at home. So if both teams end 1-1, whoever scored the away goal gets the advantage and moves on. It means more. So it's almost like it means like 1.5 instead of just one, in an essence. and you see this a lot, not only in this kind of playoff, but in the Champions League. There's a lots of times when that kind of stuff happens. So it's not uncommon, and there's a lot of outrage for some fans, especially when their team doesn't do as well because of the away goal. The rule, but you know, it's part of soccer, and it kind of separates it. I like it because it kind of separates it a little bit. And I know Manchester United 2 years ago felt it when they played Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich had a couple away goals or one away goal, and it meant more than United. So unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. But also, after this game, after the Houston-Philadelphia game, we have a big game. I know a game that everybody's wanting to see, and it's LA Galaxy versus the New York Red Bulls. The LA Galaxy have the lead. They did defeat the Red Bulls in the first leg in New York 1-0. So again, they have that one goal advantage, but they also have the away goal. So if the game ends 0-0 per se, the series will be over and LA will move on because of that one goal. Also because they have one more goal. But say the Red Bulls would have scored in that game and it would have ended 1-1, and then this game ends 0-0, then LA moves on because that goal that scored away from home means more. So they have the advantage. The ironic thing is the Red Bulls will be without Rafael Marquez, whereas the Galaxy will be out with Juninho. Both were handed red cards, and then after the game, kind of scuffle. Javinho was upset at Donovan because Donovan pumped his fist after the 1-0 win and threw the ball at Donovan, which resulted in some pushing and shoving, and some stuff was said and done, and apparently both of those players threw punches or whatnot. But I didn't see exactly what Juninho did, but I saw what Rafael Marquez did, and Rafael Marquez should be ashamed of what he did because, one, he threw the ball. Two, he acted like he should have gotten an Oscar or something of sort, because he was like 4 feet away from this, or I would say more than that, maybe 5 feet away from Juninho, and all of a sudden you see one player go down, and you see Janini, or excuse me, you see Rafael Marquez just go down, and no one's around Rafael Marquez, and he claims that he's been hit in the face. So I don't know. I kind of lost a little respect for him. And he also talks about how he's the best player on the team, and which is, in my opinion, not true, but that's just me. He's a good center, or he's a good defender, I guess, for Mexico and for the Red Bulls. But I don't know. I think he's a little too cocky. I mean, you got to have cockiness, but there's a line that I feel like has to be drawn. Landon Donovan came out and said in the press yesterday and today that he expects more fireworks to happen in this game. You know, both teams is the emotions will be riding high, to say the least. And the winner of this game takes on Real Salt Lake, whereas the winner of the Houston and Philadelphia game will take on Sporting Kansas City in the semifinals, and whoever wins those two legs will meet in the final. Not playoff news, but you know, MLS news. Beckham's future, where will he go? Some say he will sign another deal with the LA Galaxy, but he will ask for a loan option to either go to Paris or Tottenham. From, I think it's May. Yeah, I believe it's May to January to, you know, or hone his skills, or for the summer, because he's really trying to make the Great Britain team for the 2012 Olympics, which are going to be in London. He still wants to play for England as well. I think he'll stay in LA. There's no doubt in my mind about that, because I feel like his family likes the LA area. He likes the LA area. Kind of fits their lifestyle, if you ask me. But there's interest in Tottenham, which is in the EPL, and PSG, which is in League One, and France. So we'll keep you up to date on that one and see where that goes. Next is the English Premier League, and I know it's a big jump from the MLS to the English Premier League, but we're just trying to cover the different leagues for everything, basically. This weekend, this Sunday, will be Sir Alex Ferguson's 25th year at the helm of Manchester United, and he's celebrating it, and he's loving it, and there's a lot of articles going around the internet right now. And he's calling it a fairy tale. I guess quarter of a century. It's been a fairy tale quarter of the century. And his main goal when he first took over Manchester United was to knock off Liverpool of their perch of 19 championships, and he wanted to match it. And this past season, Manchester United did that. They won their 19th EPL championship, and now they're going for their 20th. And so he's really hoping that might this talking about it would really bring that back. And so we'll see if that actually happens. Which I have full faith in the man. He's probably one of the best coaches managers. I know in England they call him managers, to ever see the soccer pitch. So happy for him. I hope they get the win against Sunderland this weekend, and we can celebrate his 25 years. And also another thing that you got to look at when you talk about a player manager is not initially their record, but the amount of players that come through their organization. And some fantastic players have come through the Manchester United organization. Scholes, Giggs, Rooney, Beckham was there. You just have lots of rich talent that's come through. And you know, in the past, a lot of people have wanted him to buy players, but he's really bringing up the youth. The youth is really showing in Manchester United, and I'm just Gary Neville, another just fantastic players have come through that organization. And I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon, because I don't see him retiring anytime soon. I'm not saying he is or he's not, but that's just how I feel. I feel like he should stay in charge and get Manchester United their 20th championship, which would be history-making and great to celebrate as a fan of Manchester United. Another switching from not from not like totally, because I mentioned Liverpool, so that was my transition here into Liverpool, is Steven Gerrard is hurt again. He had an ankle infection in it a couple weeks ago, and they cleared it out, and he's progressing well. He's coming off of his surgery on his groin, and unfortunately, he was struck again, the captain for Liverpool. King Dinglish says that everything should be fine, and he looks forward to having him back. Some transfer news, QPR, Queen's Park Rangers, are watching Jermaine Defoe and where he's fitting into the Tottenham lineup, and are projected to table an £8 million offer in January for Jermaine Defoe. We'll see if that happens. I'll keep you up to date on that one. And a big thing for the United States, Manchester United is giving a trial to Chicago Fire's and USA international goalkeeper Sean Johnson, the youngster. So we'll look forward to seeing how he does at Manchester United. And I don't know if Manchester United really needs another goalkeeper, but I will say Tim Howard did go through Manchester United as well. So I'm just saying, you never know. We have some solid goalkeepers that come from the United States. Casey Keller, Brad Friedel, Tim Howard. It must be something in the water. Great goalkeepers come from the United States. So if that's the only thing we can get right, then that works too. More transfer news. Barca may be interested in Arsenal's winger Theo Walcott. That's right, the English national player has been rumored to be looked at by Barca, and they might make a little push for him here at the January signing window. The trade window, and so we'll see if that also happens, and I'll keep you up to date on all of these rumors that are going around. I will be sure to let you all know where they go from here on out, and if they happen over that deadline period. Big news against racism in soccer: John Terry is being officially investigated by Metro Police for accusations of racially abusing Anton Ferdinand of QPR, the defender. That's right, the brother of Manchester United defender Rio Ferdinand. There's speculation in the fact that maybe there's some stuff said when Chelsea and QPR played. I wasn't there, so I don't really know. But you know, if an official investigation has been launched by the police, something probably happened. Not only are the police investigating it, but the FA is investigating it. So you know, when both these work together, there's probably something there, which is bad to see, because Terry's already had lots of unfortunate events kind of, you know, hinder his career, not only with Wayne Bridge, but now with this. And it's unfortunate to see that this happens to soccer players, but I just you can't really say, you know. He did it. It's his fault. He's got to live up to it. And I hope it's not true, but you hate to see racial stuff happen. Racism in football or in any sport or in general. I wish we could be done with it. Though this all happens, Terry is still projected to be picked as the skipper for the England squad when friendlies come up here. And so we'll see if that continues. I guess it all kind of depends on where the investigation goes by both the police and the FA. Ferguson insists Ferdinand still has a major role at United. So I don't see him going anywhere. I personally think he's a little old, and maybe they could trade for him still to another team and maybe get some more money. So maybe go out and get a younger guy. They just brought in Phil Jones. I think that's the guy to replace him. That's my pick, at least. And we'll see. Yeah, I mean, all we can really do with this stuff, rumor stuff, is just wait and see. Newcastle tries to continue their unbeaten streak against Everton this weekend. That's right. I can't stress this enough. Newcastle is still undefeated, same as Man City. They are now in third place in the table by 1 point behind Manchester United. Manchester United hosts Sunderland on the 25th anniversary of Sir Alex Ferguson taking over. While Man City travel to QPR, maybe QPR can, they already beat Chelsea this year, maybe they can hand City their first loss. That'd be awesome as a Manchester United fan. Fulham host Tottenham. Like I said, Manchester City holds a 5-point lead over United, and Chelsea is tied for fourth with Tottenham with 19 points. Robin van Persie, that's right, with his hat trick against Chelsea this last weekend, jumps up to top scorer with his with 10 goals on the season. Aguero, Zeko, and Rooney are still tied for second, respectively, with 9 goals on the season. So there's lots going on in the EPL, and there's lots to look at and lots to think about. You know, that there's definitely some drama happening, which, I mean, you can't get away from drama with these with all these guys getting lots of money and just their attitudes. So unfortunately, that kind of stuff happens. But hey, what can you say? We're going to switch to Champions League and give you a quick little rundown here before we end the show. We got 6 minutes left. We can do this. Champions League so far has been good. There hasn't really been, there, well, at least yesterday or the day before, there wasn't really those big upsets, in my opinion. Everyone's still kind of in the same place. There's no big difference between the teams. There's definitely some teams in this year's Champions League that haven't really heard of, haven't really seen a lot of them play. But regardless, you know, that's what's cool about soccer or football, or however you want to say it, is that even the little teams have a chance. You know, it's not always a given on what happens or who plays who, so I'm really excited for that, and I hope this year's Champions League lives up to the hype. And so far it has. So I'll give you real quick. We'll do it group by group of each group. I'll give you how the games went this past week, who leads the table, and that kind of thing. Okay, starting with Group A, Bayern Munich, Napoli, Manchester City, and Villarreal. Bayern Munich defeated Napoli 3-2. Mario Lopez had a first half hat trick, and Napoli came back, answered with one with a free kick in the, I believe it was the 45th minute, and then answered again later in the second half. Manchester City beat Villarreal 3-0. With that win, Man City jumps to second in the group over Napoli by 2 points. So that group's pretty tight right now. And those are all very good teams. Bayern Munich come from the Bundesliga, Napoli out of Serie A, and Manchester City from the EPL. Even Villarreal is pretty decent coming out of the La Liga. So those four teams are very, very competitive. And we look to see how that group ends. Group B, which is Inter Lial Trabzonspor and CSKA Moscow. Inter defeated Lial 2-1, and Trabzonspor drew 0-0 with CSKA Moscow. So that group's kind of, there's still a lot of room for these teams to move in this group. Inter still atop the table, CSKA Moscow in second with 5 points, and on goal differential over Trabzonspor. In Group C, which is Manchester United, Otul Galati, and Benfica and FC Basel. Yesterday, United beat Otul Galati 2-0 behind goals from Valencia and Rooney. Benfica and FC Basel tied 1-1. With this draw and win for United, with Benfica's draw and United's win, United and Benfica top the table, United in first on goal differential, which is big for United because they kind of start off slow. So they really need to get this. They really need to get back on track and start scoring goals and get on that winning foot after their disappointing 6-1 loss to City. They kind of haven't been the same team. Group D, Ajax, Zagreb, Madrid, and Lyon. Ajax defeated Zagreb 4-0, whereas Madrid defeated Lyon 2-0. On two fabulous goals from Cristiano Ronaldo. One was a PK, but you know, still a pretty good goal when you got Ronaldo in it. But his first goal, free kick, fantastic. Madrid is on top of the group by 5 points. Ajax is in second with 7 points, and Lyon is in third on 4 points. Group E, Chelsea drew 1-1 with Genk, and Valencia and Bayer Leverkusen. Valencia defeated Bayer Leverkusen 3-1. Chelsea still in first with 8 points, Bayer in second with 7 points, and Valencia in third with 5 points. Group F has Borussia Dortmund, Olympiakos, Arsenal, and Marseille. with Borussia Dortmund winning 1-0 over Olympiacos and Arsenal and Marseille tying 1-1 or 0-0, excuse me. Arsenal topped the group with 8 points, Marseille in second with 7 points, and Dortmund in third with 4 points. So this group's not totally done with, they still have 2 more games. Each team still has to play 2 more games. So a lot of these aren't done. There is one that one group that is done, and I will definitely tell you which one that is. In Group G, Apoel Nicosia defeat FC Porto 2-1. That's a pretty good upset, pretty big upset. Not huge, but it's still kind of big. Zenit St. Petersburg out of Russia defeated Shakhtar Donetsk 1-0. Apoel Nicosia is in first with 8 points. Zenit St. Petersburg is in second with 7 points. And FC Porto is third with 4 points. Group H, AC Milan and Bate. Barcelona and Victoria Plzeň. AC Milan and Bate tied 1-1. Barcelona shut out Victoria Plzeň 4-0. In that game, Messi scores a hat-trick and scores his 200th goal for Barcelona. Barcelona takes over top spot with 10 points. AC Milan is in second with 8 points, and the other two teams aren't even close. That's the group where those two teams will move on to the knockout stages of Champions League. And ladies and gentlemen, that is all I have for you on this lovely November Thursday night. Stay tuned. Great shows coming up. And I believe we have to mention this is, I guess, the tailgate is going to have a special tonight at 8 o'clock. So if you can, stay tuned. I know that's a little off the radar, but, you know, whatever. It's the tailgate. You can never expect what Brock and Hunter are going to do. But please stay tuned for the scoop with DJ Misty on radar.dominican.edu. For me, Casey Gibson, that's it. Thank you for listening to The Red Card, and I will catch you next week. Later.